It's a WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're back, Philly. Mad at everybody all the time. Love it. We're at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. Every Monday night is the Brandon Graham Show at 6, followed by the Players Lounge. This week's guest is Landon Dickerson. A reminder, Nick Sirianni speaks. This is on the heavy anticipation on Nick's press conference today. That'll happen at 3:15, and you'll hear it right here on the WIP Afternoon Show.
Real quick.
Yes, sir.
Before you go back to the phones, because I know there's more negativity.
Positivity.
Coming.
Positive Ike.
Oh, here it
positive
is.
Positive Ike. Cooper DeJean yesterday.
Oh!
Come on, Coop. Come on, man.
Yo, he's
our best edge rusher.
We drafted two football players in the secondary.
How about that?
They're both football players.
Yes!
They're both strong. They both hit guys. They both, I loved how they were using him yesterday, but I loved how he played the game yesterday.
Played with confidence.
Yep.
Certainly played with confidence. And like you said, they used him up in the box. They blitzed him a little bit. They had him out in coverage. Showed a little bit of rust in tackling. I need him to wrap up. Could have had an easy safety or a sack on Deshaun Watson late, but he sort of went in there with the shoulder shiver and didn't necessarily get him down, but didn't wind
he
up tackling
did do
afterwards.
That.
Yeah, it didn't wrap him up, but that's okay. That's okay. I think he's more of a short tackler, and he'll probably look at that on film and be like, man, that's one I got to wrap up and bring him down. One other little critique for him is I am the noted special teamer on the show.
Yes, sir.
Cooper, I need you to get north and south. All right, the running east and west. That may work in the Big Ten. That's not going to work in the NFL. Get what you can get. Get up the field. You're more likely to make somebody miss by running right at them versus trying to run away from them. So get north and south on your punt returns, and we're going to be okay.
I think the other thing, too, is that the difference in speed is very noticeable in the NFL. He could probably he's not fast enough to go east and west.
You're not
going to
run around.
NFL.
Yeah. You'd be better off just running right at him and giving him a nice little wiggle. Believe me, I played with Brian Mitchell. Not the fastest guy in the world, but he always went north and south.
215-592-9494. Chuck in Mount Airy. Chuck, you're on WIP.
Fellas, what's going on? Listen, let me say this, right?
Yes.
I understand with Nick Sirianni. You know, I've been thinking about it all day. I can get where he gets frustrated at a breaking point, okay? The guy that's had flowers thrown at him, he's had popcorn thrown at him, you know, and he probably just had a breaking point. It's just not the way to do it, man. And furthermore, right, I'm going to give you a perspective from our point of view, the fans' point of view, right? You put that stupid-ass product out there, you know, and we was expecting more of an offensive, you know, juggernaut team. We're coming off the Phillies breaking our heart. We're not one of these fan bases or cities that got ring after ring after ring, okay? So we bitter. We're angry, right? That's why we lashed out at you the way we lashed out at you. You're not helping the fact that, like I said, last week, just simply 4 days ago, we just got our hearts ripped out from a baseball team that we thought was going to go all the way. You know what I mean? So understand the perspective of a fan base like ours as well, okay? Now let me say this. That's not even what bothers me. What bothers me is that this team sucks, okay? They're boring. They're boring to watch, okay? It's a snooze fest. All right, I'm watching offenses like Detroit run up and down the field. The Vikings, the Bengals even got a good offense. You know, I'm watching these teams. You know, Buffalo. I'm
Buccaneers,
watching these teams score,
Lions
score at will. Buccaneers. You know, the list goes on. You know what I mean? And we got this threat. You know what I mean? If I see another push again, I promise you, I'm gonna take something and I'm gonna stab myself with a spoon. Because this is just garbage, okay? It's garbage. And anybody be satisfied for it, it's crazy, man. And, I mean, it's the same dumbass plays. We're supposed to get a new defense offensive coordinator in, and we're going to bring some new excitement to it. But he can't run all his offense. You don't know why he can't, because maybe this coach is too stupid to keep his hand on the cookie jar. Or maybe this quarterback is just, you know, he can't do everything that this coach and his offensive coordinator want to do. And now we got to be, you know, be witnesses of this garbage, man. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, we 3-2. But this is the worst 3-2 team I've ever seen. This guy is Rich Kotite at best, Nick Sirianni. And it's not even about him coming at the fans. This sucks as a head coach, man. He has no answers to nothing that we're doing right now. And you're right, Ike. It's going to be negativity all year long, doomsday, because this team stinks. All this talent, and they're boring. Okay, I'm fell asleep during a game, and I never fall asleep during Eagles games, man. Simply boring. That's what I label this team as. Okay, B-O-R, drop the E-I-N-G, boring.
Wow. Well, Chuck, thank you for the call, Chuck. Chuck took your positivity and shoved it right down your throat.
I knew it, brother. Yeah, I knew that. Yeah, I knew that.
Well, Nick.
Still, Cooper's Zine, good debut.
He was a good debut.
Big day, yeah.
So coming up next, Nick Sirianni speaks. He will be asked every question, I assume, about what happened yesterday. That is coming up next on what? You all right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, sorry. That's on me right there. Nick Sirianni's next, 215-592-9494. We're at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. Pre-game, in-game, or post-game, Chickies and Pete's is your destination for the Eagles all season long, online at chickiesandpetes.com. We are at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly tonight and every Monday. Brandon Graham Show at 6, then the Players Lounge. This week's guest is Landon Dickerson. Coming up in moments, Nick Sirianni speaks. The Coach's Press Conference is sponsored by PDQ Signature Systems. If you're in the restaurant, hospitality, or casino business, you need a PDQ POS system. With PDQ POS, you'll sell more, earn more, and work less. If you want the best, trust PDQ POS. Visit PDQPOS.com. So as we anticipate the Nick Sirianni press conference, there's really two different ways he can go. He could walk back yesterday, say he was emotional, blah, 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 or he could double down on what he did and how he acted. Which way do we think he's going to go? Ike, do you think Coach Sirianni will double down or will he walk it back?
I think he walks it back.
Really?
Yeah, I do. I do. I think they realize this is a pointless fight to have, and he's never going to win this. And the sooner you move on from it, the sooner the story goes away. But if you want to continue to double down on it or plant your feet in sort of the stance about defending your turf and not, you know, this sort of thing, you versus the fans, I just that's a lose-lose situation in my mind.
215-592-9494. As soon as Nick Sirianni starts talking, we will bring it to you. But for now, Chris in King of Prussia. Chris, you're on WIP.
We can vote on election day.
All right. Wow.
Buzz, can you talk to Chris and let our callers know that we might be talking to them?
Well, he had a completely different radio station going.
Jim in Cherry Hill.
Should we break that one down?
Jim, you're on WIP.
Gentlemen, three quick notes.
Yes.
I am so annoyed and embarrassed that after being an Eagles fan for my 60th year in a row, I am now a first-time, long-time caller to you guys. Okay.
Welcome
annoying.
Aboard.
The Eagles have had some good coaches like Andy and Doug, and some not-so-good coaches like the coaches of my boyhood, when Ed Kiatt was 8-15 and Joe Q. Harrick, Joe, who when the Eagles went 2-12 and a guy threw a banner over Franklin Field every home game said, Joe must go. What do these good and bad coaches have in common? Not one of them ever yelled at the fans. Not one of them ever brought his kids to the press conference. And not one of them goes out and gets a buzz cut. It was all over ESPN, NFL.com, even the New York Post. It's annoying. There, I said it. Point two, defense not doing so well. Until Seth pointed out yesterday that they didn't let up a touchdown. But still, very inconsistent. Why is it embarrassing? Because my wife, my Vietnamese wife of 24 years, after 23 years of just watching me watch football, started asking who, what, where, when, and what's going on. She knows how to watch a football game. So 3 weeks ago, my rookie fan wife is watching the Tampa Bay game with me, and she asked me four times, why the defense don't go after the quarterback so much? I told her, that's not my pay grade. My job's to make sure we got snacks. But when a rookie observer watches it, yeah, that's a problem. We need some consistency here. And nationally, they were calling for like 31-10 upset and a rout. People were all pumped up, and they got that. It's just embarrassing, fellas, after 60 years. My third point, shout out to your longtime listener, yet to call Vietnam Army vet, Sam Huberman. That's all I got, fellas.
All right, Jim.
Appreciate it.
Well, that was, there was a lot to that
call. 60 straight years of being an Eagles fan.
Well, that part. That part was...
I'm going on 30.
Yeah, yeah. Big V in Mount Laurel. Big V, you're on WIP.
Yo, Ike, Spike, Jackie, baseball. Can't wait till the summer starts so I can hear you crying again. But listen, Let's move on to the Eagles. Look, first of all, there's a lot of frustration. Well, one, the Phillies, the Sixers. We're still on the fence about the Flyers. But, you know, for Nick Sirianni to be the CEO of the culture, he doesn't quite understand Philadelphia culture. Philadelphia, we're the city that will boo Santa Claus, that will spit in your Wawa hoagie and find Nick Sirianni and Gary Barbera and run him over in the parking lot. If you want Philly fans to love you, you gotta do one thing. Win us over. We're not that hard. We're the most passionate fans in the world. And one thing that wins us over is a win. Not like last year wins, you know, where, you know, we're barely winning. But, you know, when you take on the worst team in the NFL, the one thing that you could do is win in a big fashion. You know, like that spanking Dallas got. Oh, by the way, Cowgirl Jim, I don't hear you calling today, you shifty. But, and I understand he's dealing with some frustration, okay? But, you know, you got to use that to your advantage. Like Cassiano, when he got booed, he took that, channeled that energy and smacked that home run. You got to turn it over to win the fans, Nick. That's all we want.
Yeah, I agree. People just want the team to be good, I think, at the end of the day. And it's a different – thank you for the call, Big V. I think there is a difference between a player – nobody's going to win. Nobody's going to win that war. There is a bit of a difference between a player doing it and the coach doing it. The coach, I think, is much, much, much worse. And it's harder to recover from. And I think the idea of him being –
well, it depends on which player it is.
Yeah, for sure.
The quarterback does that.
Yeah, but I also think it. Here's why I think it's a little bit easier for a player to recover from that.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they go and they play well, I think everyone's back on. Pretty much.
Sure.
The coach doesn't have an opportunity to play well, so he's just, especially this coach in this mm-hmm. situation. So he doesn't. And to be quite honest, I don't think it's likely that the team is going to outscore people by 3 touchdowns anytime soon. So this is going to be a grind of a season, most likely. So it's just difficult for him to recover from that
but
sort
know,
of stuff.
You know, the funny thing is, when you already have your mind made up about a coach, it doesn't matter. Because
yeah.
Mike Tomlin can win by 6 points every week, and he's a great coach. Wins ugly, defense, scrapes by. He's a great coach, 9-8. 10-7. He's a great coach. Nick Sirianni can literally lead you to the Super Bowl, and he's still not going to get credit for it. Like, you notice and I notice, no matter what this team does, this fan base has already made their mind up about Nick Sirianni, whether they win or lose. Because if they win, then it's how did they win? Did they win pretty? Again, some coaches get the benefit of the doubt and can win ugly, and no one says anything. And before you started rattling me off about how Mike Tomlin is going to the Hall of Fame, he won a Super Bowl 15 years ago. Hasn't been back since, I don't believe. Right?
They went back once, right?
I don't know. Did they?
I think they went back.
Because I don't know if he lost the Super Bowl. Did he lose one?
He lost to Green Bay.
That was after he won here, so it may have been within 2 years.
So 11,
he went back.
I think,
you're right.
I think
yeah.
that was.
You're right.
But
that
still,
was,
I mean, like
no, it was 2010. That was the Aaron Rodgers Super Bowl. Yeah, 2010.
I guess the difference is like they're not. No one considers them Super Bowl contenders. I think they have a good team. The Eagles are supposed to be Super Bowl contenders.
Sure.
Well, it's.
But
only,
we say that every year.
Well, but there's. I think people view the Eagles more of a Super Bowl contender than they do the Steelers.
I agree. My only point is that we as a fan base have that expectation. That's why we put that amount of pressure on the head coach to win. And it doesn't matter if they win by 3 or by 15. They win by 15 or 20, he's not getting credit for it, and you know it.
Oh, no, yeah.
So it doesn't matter what they look like. He's not going to get credit for it.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think when he does things like this, it's almost like a turnover. It's almost like it's creating another – like more divisiveness than is necessary. And I understand, by the way, I understand the frustration as a human from his standpoint. I understand being in the position where you can't get credit and how that must be.
So we realize he has an overall winning percentage of the third best. Like if you just go by numbers and what coaches should be judged off of, wins and losses. Like, his numbers say this, but again, I'm not saying right or wrong. I'm just saying what the reality is.
Yeah.
Is that there's – we've already made our mind up about what you think about Nick Sirianni as a coach. And if they win, it's not because of him. He's not getting the credit. It's Kellen Moore that's going to get the credit. It's Jalen that's going to get the credit. He isn't all of a sudden going to become some smart coach that everybody thinks has now found out what football is and reinvented himself. It's going to be, no, he got out of the way and somebody else is getting credit for it. It is what it is.
And by the way,
the reality of what the situation is.
By the way, I think the organization, and I've said this 100 times, but I think the organization is responsible in part for that atmosphere that has been created. I think they can take as long as they want to decide whether to fire the guy or not. But when you take a week and a half to decide whether you're going to keep him, and then all of the messaging this offseason was that he's going to stay out of the way, they've created an atmosphere that he's going, because he did turn people at one point. You know, we all thought he was a dunce in the beginning. You know, the opening press conference was not good. The opening call with the morning show was not good. The flowers thing, everybody made fun of until they won. And I think he turned people. But then I think what happened the end of last season and then the way this offseason was handled leading up into the season has put him in a really precarious position publicly.
But the best team that he coached, he didn't get credit for coaching.
You don't think he got credit?
No, we're Shane Steichen.
Oh, right.
Shane Steichen's team. So the best team that he coached, they went to the Super Bowl. He didn't get the credit for it.
And here is Nick Sirianni.
Hey, Nick. I was curious. In the offseason, Jeffrey Lurie said he liked that you showed passion as a head coach. He didn't want you to lose that. But considering the kind of extreme negative reaction to yesterday, have you heard from Jeffrey Lurie at all about what happened yesterday and what was his feedback?
No, Mr. Lurie and I talk every time after the game, every time. I haven't talked to him yet today. I know how supportive Mr. Lurie has been through everything. I would say this about that. You know, I was trying to bring energy yesterday, energy, enthusiasm yesterday, and I'm sorry and disappointed on how my energy was directed at the end of the game. And you know, my energy should be all in on coaching, motivating, right, and celebrating with our guys. And so, you know, that's you know, and I got to have better wisdom and discernment of when to use that energy, and that wasn't the time. And so, you know, we have the best fans in the world. There's no place like this, and they show up and show out no matter where they are and where we are. I can't, you know, Brazil, Arizona, it doesn't matter. New Orleans, and you know, in that game too, that they had two, you know, it was loud, and I thought it was really loud, energetic, and those two false starts that the Browns got. That forced a field goal instead of that. And who knows? Like they're they're fourth and eight. excuse me, at the 8-yard line, and then they get a penalty and they don't go for it on 4th and 13. Who knows how that goes? And so our fans brought the energy, brought the passion, brought the juice, and like I said, that's my answer to that.
Thank you.
We'll go to Ruben and then Jeff.
Hey Nick, I'm wondering what made you kind of feel the way you do, what you just articulated, what made you change your mind? Because after the game, you know, you said I was just having fun. What changed? Sure. And yeah, were you aware of the way the fans reacted?
You know, there's play calls in the game that you go through and game management things that you go through and say, you know, at the time I thought this was the right thing. And then you evaluate everything, you know, you evaluate the way the players played, you evaluate the things that you did as a coach to get them ready to play, or the calls that you made, or the management of the game that you did. And you do the same thing with other things, which this one is. Rube.
We'll go to Jeff and then Dave.
Nick, what needs to be done to improve the offensive slow starts?
You know, if there was something magic, you know, we'd be doing it. We just, you know, I think the defense really started well, and I know that's not the question you asked, but it kept us, you know, being able to stay, you know, 0-0, and then, you know, the third drive get going. But we just got to figure out. We got to put the guys in positions to succeed. We got to be ready for the, and the guys have to go out and execute. It's always going to be that, and we just have to keep trying new formulas. You know, it's not a necessarily the same formula against every team. It depends on the defense that you're playing and the opponent that you're playing, but we just got to keep trying different formulas of things that have been successful in the past, things that we think can be successful for this team. Again, just sprinkling the different formulas in there because we know how important it is that we get on that board first and not have to, and when they kick it to us and go down and get a score right away and not have to thank the defense to get a stop for us to get a lead.
Just to follow up on this. Scripted, how many scripted plays are there, and do you guys need to maybe not do that as much? Maybe that's the issue.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to get into how many plays there or, you know, how many plays that we have there, how many plays we script out on third down, on red zone. Again, we'll keep trying different formulas to make sure that we're putting the guys in position to succeed and that the guys can go out and start fast.
We'll go to Dave and then Ed. We'll go to Ed here.
Hi, Nick. I know you don't like to give a lot of injury information, but it certainly doesn't look good for Jordan Mailata after seeing him on crutches yesterday. I know Fred Johnson's typically the man up, but would there be any consideration perhaps given to maybe Mekhi Becton moving out to that tackle spot if this is a long-term situation?
Yeah, that's a good question, Ed. You know, it looks like, again, you're right, I don't give that information a lot. It looks like Jordan's going to be out a couple weeks. We'll see exactly how long it's going to be. I don't have that information yet, exactly all that. But, you know, Jordan's busting his butt trying to get, you know, make a play. And unfortunately, that happened. And so everything's on the table, though, Ed. You know, everything's on the table. We got some good ability to do different things because of the roster that Howie and his staff have built and the flexibility that Coach Stoutland coaches the guys up with to be able to be multiple at different positions. So flexibility is there. We're early on in the process, and we'll figure that out as the week goes.
I'll go to Tim and then John.
And Nick, are you really calling defensive plays on occasion, or is that just more of a shield for your coaches?
No, you know, I think it's very common in the NFL when the head coach gets on and says, you know, attack, concede, you know, come on, let's get after these guys. And I think that, you know, that's where that comes from. And then there's personal philosophies that I have of how to play certain situations that you talk through. And so it wouldn't be fair for me to have the philosophies that I have and push that on my coaches and then not take accountability for it when the play doesn't work. So that's kind of how it goes, Tim. And I think that's pretty common throughout the NFL.
We'll go to John and then Martin.
Hey, Nick, to kind of follow up on Tim's question there, from the standpoint of pointing out specific plays, the third and one, you say all the time, you know, your name is on everything, whether it's offense, defense, special teams. Is it better to leave it there and not point out specific plays? Have you thought about that?
You know, again, my name is on everything. I think it's just, again, the wisdom and discernment of when to do that and when not to do that. I don't think there's unfortunately not a rule book of how to be a head coach and how to handle different situations. But, you know, you try to do your best and handle each situation as it's presented. Will I consistently give that information? You know, we'll see how it goes. But, you know, sometimes yes, sometimes no.
We'll go to Martin and then Bo.
Hey, Nick, kind of sticking with the defense, you guys had 5 sacks yesterday. I think you came in the game with 6 through the first 4 games. What do you kind of attribute the difference as far as getting to the quarterback? And also, if I could ask also how you thought Cooper DeJean played, getting 91% of the snaps?
Yeah, I'll answer that first one first. I thought Coop had a really, really good game. And there's things that he has to improve on that, you know, were on the tape and that he's going to be working hard to do. But I thought his youth and his energy really showed up on that field. Like he makes that play where the guy traces back and you can see his speed and athleticism making the play. Martin, say the first part of your question again. I'm sorry.
Just like the difference as far as getting to the quarterback, you guys had the 5 sack yesterday.
You know, that's kind of how games go sometimes. You know, that there's opportunities in certain games. I thought our guys rushed well when they had to rush individually. I thought our guys rushed in tandem as a group well together when they were rushing with games. You know, I thought Vic dialed up some really nice blitzes in certain situations that got guys free. So I think it was a little bit of a combination of all three. And then there were some times where the secondary had really good coverage. I think every time I looked at it, the secondary was tight and they were sticky in coverage. So it's good. It was really good team defense.
Thanks.
We'll go to Bo and then Chris.
Hey, Nick, from a game plan standpoint, the numbers say was the lowest amount of play action that you guys have ever run under you. Why was that the case in this game?
You know, different scenarios call for different things. That's a really good defense that we're doing some different things that made certain things challenging. And I got a lot of respect for Coach Schwartz. Obviously, he's done the ultimate thing here and won a Super Bowl. And so much respect for him and the coordinator he's been and the coordinator he is. And so they did some things that were challenging. Again, I thought Kellen did a really nice job calling the game. I can't tell you how good of a job I think he did. Aggressive in certain situations where we need to be aggressive, which may not always be typical of being aggressive, but he was. And so, you know, I thought he did a nice job calling the game, and I thought Jalen really did a nice job of handling the way the game was called and the plays that were the way we're coming in and went to the right place with the football. I thought Jalen. You know, I'm just kind of adding to this. Jalen did a really nice job of, you know, starting off. You know, we really wanted to start fast, but we didn't. You know, that was the emphasis. But, man, how impressive was Jalen in the sense that you can start off 0-5 and then 0-for-5 and then complete 16 of your next 20 balls. Like, that's true definition of dog mentality.
We'll go to Chris and then Bob.
Hey, Nick, looking ahead to next week, you guys have to travel to MetLife Stadium again, a place where you guys have struggled in the past. What has caused those struggles, and what do you do to fix them, especially just thinking it's like 1-3 in those last games?
Yeah, I think it's the Giants that you know, and obviously we had a loss against the Jets. I don't think anyone's thinking about this, where we're playing or anything like that, Chris. But, you know, so it's really about how we go about this game. You know, like, for instance, there's been guys on this team that haven't been part of some of those games. So we just got to go execute, control the things we can control. If I thought it was a weather thing or anything like that, then we'd do something a little bit different. This has just been more of our execution and our coaching in certain games. And we'll be hungry in this game and do the work that we need to do this week to get ready for this game.
We'll go to Bob and then Zach.
Nick, you said you wanted to bring energy yesterday, and you said your players asked you to do that, and now you're saying maybe you went overboard yesterday. How do you find a happy medium to all that? What do you feel like you need to do to get to that space?
Yeah, again, I don't think there's a playbook for that, but I think at the end of the day, it is, okay, you want to be passionate and have energy, just like I did in there today with the guys, you know, when we watch film together. But again, it's having that discernment of when to do that. And again, it is not a, I wish there was a playbook on stuff like that and make it the job a little bit easier to do, but it's not. And so it's got to be, you know, you got to have the discernment and the wisdom of when to do it. And I think that at the end of the day, it's like, as I think about it and as I reflect on it, it's, you know, are you coaching your butt off, right, throughout the week and coaching your butt off during the game? Are you, you know, motivating and pushing the right buttons? It's not necessarily motivating, it's wiring. You know, it's sometimes I think you get there, it's not, it's wiring the guys in the right way, not inspiring them, wiring your habits. And then it's just celebrating with them, because that's so much fun of this. That's one of the best things you can have in this game. And you know, some of the best memories I have of this game is the celebrations that you have in game, the celebrations you have in the locker room after the game, you know, stuff like that. And so I think that can be the baseline of everything. Going from there. Now, obviously, to answer your question.
Thank you.
We'll go to Zach and then Brooks.
Hey, good afternoon, Nick. What perspective do you have on why the special teams issues continue multiple weeks here? And if I can sneak in a quick injury question, do you have a sense of the Dallas Goedert and Darius Slay injuries yet?
Yeah, still getting a little bit more back on Dallas and Slay. We'll have more on that. Still up in the air a little bit there. As far as the special teams, you know, I think what's happened is, like, we've had the one catastrophic play each game with the past couple weeks, and that, you know, it's one thing that really bothers me in coaching sometimes. Like, we played a good game except, well, that except counts, right? Those count. In this particular case, a really good player made a really good play. Like I told you guys, I can't tell you how much respect I have for Myles Garrett and the player that he's been. But he made a really good play, and, you know, we got to be better in that scenario. He made the same play against Indy last year, same exact play. So we have to be better in that scenario. We got to coach it better. We got to execute it better and be aware of where he is at all times, offensively and special teams wise. Shoot, if that guy goes in the game at tight end, I have no doubt in my mind that guy can make plays there. So we'd have to be alert for where he was there too, as well, because, you know, that's always your emphasis in this game of a game of matchups, is don't let their best guys beat you. And he made a really good play that turned the tide of that game yesterday.
We'll go to Brooks and then Dave.
Hey, Nick, in talking about your behavior, you said you related it to reviewing plays, like reviewing that. Who was a part of you that review for yourself? Was that just you? Was that Lurie? Was that Howie? Was that players? You mentioned players that talked to you before. Like, was that just your own process, or was others?
Yeah, that's my self review after each game. I always think I probably do too good of a job of pulling myself through the mud at the end of the game, but at the end of the day, that one called for it. And then also, that's the only way you get better.
We'll go to Dave and then Olivia.
Hey, Nick, how much differently are you guys coaching those mesh concepts, and what was the impetus for that?
Yeah, not a lot different. Not a lot different. You know, I think back to our, 2022 at Washington, Zach Pascal gets a really similar play that set Smitty off for a really, really, really long run. I think back to Indy, and we're at Houston, and Trey Burton gets a mesh for T.Y. Hilton that looked pretty similar too, that went for a big catch and run. So, again, you constantly think about better ways to teach it and better ways to get, how do you get better at it? Those coaching points have been pretty firm for the past year, for the past years. But what an unbelievable call there by Kellen, what great execution by the whole line and Jalen, and then really good, by Jack Stoll and Devontae. And then really like to point out just the effort by Grant Calcaterra to make sure on the other one that Smitty got in the end zone. Because Rodney McLeod was flying around making a lot of plays yesterday. And Grant turned and got a block on Rodney to allow Devontae to finish that play.
We'll finish with Olivia and then EJ.
Hey, Nick, we kind of saw a similar scene at the end of the Saints game with Jalen Carter kind of talking to some of the players and the fans. You come over to him and try to talk to him and maybe calm him down. And then obviously with what happened yesterday, how do you view yourself as kind of someone who sets the temperature, the tone for the players in their their actions, their behavior? And when you fall short of that, how do you address that or take accountability with the players?
Yeah, it's an emotional game, but, you know, everything, like, shoot, I mean, I'll start every meeting with the things that I screwed up. And so it's just being honest you know, taking accountability and being and having honest conversations, you know, whether that's with the team or in private, but, you know, as we talked about today. And so, I, like I told you guys, it literally everything on that field is my responsibility. So, and that's from actions and behaviors and plays and everything. And I take a lot of pride in that. And when it doesn't go the right way, I put yourself through the mud for that. So everything, but though everything has my name on it, and that's why the self-reflection at the end is critical, because the only way you get better is if you look yourself in the mirror and say what you could have done better.
We'll finish with EJ here.
Hey, Nick, two questions about the offensive game plan here. You guys use the fewest amount of pre-snap motion plays. You know, I think the rate has been going down progressively throughout the season. And then Jalen only had one completion over the middle of the field. I'm curious if that's something the Browns, you know, specifically do, or, you know, what's behind those two things?
Yeah, you know, we had a lot of tempo yesterday, plays on the ball. So that limits you sometimes. That doesn't mean you can't motion when you have a tempo play. But we had a lot of those yesterday. So that's going to affect the number a little bit. And then as far as the middle of the field, I just thought Jalen did a really good job of taking what the defense gave him. And, you know, had some matchups. I thought those were good corners out there, but we got really good receivers. And, shoot, can't say enough about that last play on second and 11 where Jalen threw it. Like, what an unbelievable play by those two guys. But that's just the way that, you know, Jalen being, you know, I just thought Jalen had a really nice game of going to the places where he needed to go with the football and being accurate with those throws.
There we go. Well, a subdued and apologetic Nick Sirianni says he's sorry for what he did yesterday. What do you think? 215-592-9494. We'll get Ike's reaction right after I tell you about the thing that you got to take care of. Nick Sirianni had to apologize, and you got to take care of your old drafty windows because the winner will be here very, 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 very soon. And Guided Door and Window knows that you have been negligent in replacing your old drafty windows and the doors that need to get replaced. So they're going to help you do it now by making it more affordable. The buy one, get one half off sale. So for every door or every window you buy, you get a second one at 50% off. Mix and match them all you want. So you get two doors and then you want two windows half off. That works. The more you buy, the more you save. You do your whole house, half that house's doors and windows are going to be 50% off. And they're going to make it more affordable for you by letting you start the project with no money down and interest-free financing for up to 18 months. This is only going to go for a limited time. There are restrictions. So here's how you find out more. You get it done. Call 877-GO-GUIDA. Schedule a free, no-obligation in-home estimate. Or go to goguida.com. That's goguida.com. Well, like as you predicted, Nick Sirianni walked it back. We got to give Elliot credit first. Question yeah. again.
Yep,
got
good
a
job.
Good question.
Good job, E.
And I thought it was a fair answer. You know, him saying he's trying to fire the team up. There was 90 seconds left. I don't know about that. It was, but he did say it was the wrong thing, which is what you have to.
And I think that's what you got to take away from it. At least that's what I want to take away from it, is that that's the most important message he needed to get out, that it was something that he wishes he could have back. I think he got caught up in the emotion after the game, and he let his emotions get the best of him after the game. It's not the first time that we've seen it. We saw it in Kansas City last year. We saw it in Indianapolis a couple years ago. I forget the game. Was it the Giants playoff game where he did, where the meme is out there where he's mugging the camera?
Giants playoff game,
that was the Giants playoff game. So we've seen him sort of have
in the Super Bowl.
Yes, in the Super Bowl, yes. We've seen him sort of have these moments where his emotions get the best of him. I'll give him credit for swallowing his pride and realizing that, listen, that's not a great look. It's not the look he should want to have out there as a head coach in this league. It certainly is offensive to his home fan base to have the head coach basically saying, now what, to his fans? What do you got to say now? That's basically what he was saying and what he was gesturing to his own fans yesterday. That wasn't a good look in front of us. And more importantly, it's not the image you want portrayed of yourself if you're Nick Sirianni nationally. I mean, for God's sake, they're talking about this on national television again this morning not what the team did yesterday. And, yeah, they got by an ugly win against a bad Browns team. But you can even focus on some of the things they did well in that game, because the number one topic when discussing the Eagles today, even nationally, was Nick Sirianni's reaction after the game and towards the end of the game. Like, we got Damian Woody on Get Up calling our head coach a clown, saying that's clown behavior. Mike Greenberg, who seemingly is on this soapbox every week about getting Nick Sirianni fired. Little did he know his own head coach got fired because he's a Jets fan. But he's been on Nick Sirianni from training camp just about every week about the Nick Sirianni-Jalen Hurts relationship. My only thing is, it's one thing that we're talking about it here and paying close attention to it, but when it becomes a national story, that's a bad look for the organization, and it's a distraction that they don't need.
And to that end, if he doesn't do that, the Eagles would pretty much be ignored nationally this week. They wouldn't be there would be a little here and there, but most people would just look at the score.
You gave them a story to talk about.
Yeah, they would just look at the score and go, oh, the Eagles snuck past the
Browns. Yeah, they beat a bad team. Yeah.
Yeah, but it would just be a normal football conversation and not a what the hell is going on with that organization conversation, which you don't need.
Yep.
You absolutely don't need. Yep. And I also think, they didn't ask him about it, but I think it's all wrapped up in the same thing. I also think his attitude in the press conference after the game, which was condescending and weird, was just an extension of his frustration with the fans at the end of the game. I think he probably lumps the fans and local media all into one thing.
WIP.
Pain in his ass or whatever. So he brought that same energy into the press conference, I thought, too.
DeCamera, Gilio, and Spike.
Yep.
Although, Spike, you've been a pro Nick Sirianni guy.
Yeah, or at least I haven't been anti.
Yes.
Yeah, I haven't been anti at all. I have defended the frigging guy.
Now Spike's like, don't necessarily attach me to him.
Yeah.
He knows where this is going. I did love. Yeah, I tell Vic when to concede, when to push forward. Yeah, I'm sure.
Can you imagine?
Yeah, we didn't really buy that answer on
the best.
Yeah.
Well, the question was like, come on, Nick. You don't really tell Vic Fangio what to do.
Yeah, well, the question, was it McManus?
I mean, it was McManus,
He was really like, did you say that? Do you mean it for real? Or were you just
taking bullets for your
That was good. Yeah. All right.
All-timer.
He apologized. Are you still mad at Nick Sirianni? You feel better about the win now? 215-592-9494. The Twitter question, which is brought to you by Marsh Jewelers. Our football team is chasing a championship ring. Our football team is chasing us to not be mad on a Monday.
Yes, yes.
Make her feel like a world champion every day with a ring from Marks. Online at marks-jewelers.com. What do you feel more today? Happy with the win or annoyed with the team and coach? 76% annoyed with the team. That'll go down by 2 percentage points, maybe.
If they're lucky.
Yeah, if they're lucky. So what do you think? 215-592-9494. Joining us next, Mr. Defense himself, Donovan McNabb, will join us to break down the game. And I'm curious to talk to Donovan about what he thinks the reason for the sort of slog of offense we've seen is. You know, is it a coaching problem? Is it a personnel problem? What is it? We'll talk to Donovan about that next. We are at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. Brandon Graham Show here at 6. Players Lounge with Landon Dickerson at 7. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.